The message this morning comes from Romans chapter 9, verses 30 through 33. And this is what it says. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it, that is, a righteousness that is by faith, but that Israel who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame." May God add His blessing to the reading of His Word. Romans chapter 9 through 11 deals with what you might call the Jewish problem. What is the Jewish problem? The Jewish problem with respect to the gospel is this. The Jews have a historic and rich heritage as the people of God, dating back to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12, almost 3,000 BC. God chose these people and made covenants with them, gave the law through them, and the rituals of true religion. He made them into a nation. He sent prophets to them. He dealt miraculously with them. He promised them a Messiah. In the fullness of time, Jesus Christ was born of the Jews. But the Jews have rejected Jesus Christ, and the Jews have rejected the gospel, and they are lost. That raises a question. Did God make promises to Abraham and the Jews that He did not keep? Does God's Word predict anything that is historically inaccurate? Has God's Word failed? Does the fact that the church, which is God's people today, is largely made up of Gentiles, indicate that God's Word has failed? Does the fact that there are so few Jews in the church indicate that God's Word has failed? These are the issues that are dealt with in Romans chapter 9 through 11. Why does Romans 9:6 say, "But it is not as though the Word of God has failed"? It is to dispel the assumption that God's Word has failed because of the Jewish situation with regard to the gospel. How do you explain that the Jews are lost and the Gentiles are being saved? In Romans chapter 9 through 11, Paul examines the Old Testament Scriptures and explains the Jewish situation and confirms that the Word of God certainly has not failed. Romans 9, 6 through 13 makes the case from the Old Testament that the Word of God has not failed because God never elected all of the Jews without exception. God never intended to save every Jew simply because he was a physical descendant of Abraham. God chose Isaac and rejected Ishmael. God chose Jacob and rejected Esau. God has historically practiced election, and He has elected some of the Jews to salvation and rejected the rest of them. That is divine election, and it is something that raises objections, but the objections to divine election cannot be sustained. Romans 9:14-21 answers the objections to election by references to the Old Testament Scriptures. And the conclusion is that the Word of God has not failed because the objections to election do not stand up. First of all, man has a self-acquired predisposition of animosity toward God. And God has mercy on whomever He wills, and He hardens whomever He wills. He makes one vessel out of the same lump of self-alienated clay for honorable use and another for dishonorable use. It is His prerogative to do that. Romans 9:22-24 explains that the Word of God has not failed because the rationale of election is the glory of God. God's glory is the supreme highest purpose in all the universe. God gets glory from displaying His attributes of wrath and power and patience and mercy, and from exercising His prerogatives as God. That is the rationale of election. And it is through election that God saves Jews and Gentiles alike. Romans 9:25-29 quotes Old Testament passages to support that the Word of God has not failed, because election is the means by which God saves Jews and Gentiles alike. A passage in Hosea is cited to support the salvation of the Gentiles. And a passage in Isaiah is cited to support the salvation of a remnant of the Jews. Were it not for the elective purposes of God, the Gentiles would not be saved. Were it not for the elective purposes of God, Israel would have been obliterated from the face of the earth like Sodom and Gomorrah. But God has saved a remnant of them. That brings us to Romans 9:30-33. What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it? That is, a righteousness that is by faith, and that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They have stumbled over the stumbling stone, as it is written, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense. And whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame." That passage contends that the Word of God has not failed because the Jews pursued salvation in a way that is contrary to the Word of God. The Jews cannot blame anyone but themselves for their lostness, because they did not pursue salvation by faith. The Gentiles, on the other hand, and all who are being saved, are saved by faith. That is what this passage is all about. Up to now, Romans chapter 9 has emphasized God's sovereignty in salvation. This passage emphasizes human responsibility. You and I may not be able to reconcile those two things in our minds, but the Bible presents them both without contradiction. Salvation is a matter of the sovereignty of God. Salvation is also a matter of human responsibility. What we all lack is, as human beings, is righteousness. What we all desperately need is righteousness. What we cannot earn for ourselves is righteousness. God has provided a way for us to have righteousness, and it is by faith. You can either become righteous God's way, or you can be lost. The majority of the Jews refused to submit to God's righteousness and tried to establish their own, so they were lost. The Gentiles, who did not pursue righteousness by works, attained it by faith. What do we learn from Israel's failure? We learn that salvation is by faith. There are three things that I want to say about that. First of all, faith, not works, is the way to attain God's righteousness. Israel failed to attain God's righteousness because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it were based on works. They sought to attain their own righteousness by earning it. They failed to recognize the seriousness of their own sins. One of the outstanding ministers of the earlier part of the 20th century was R.A. Torrey. He was a pastor of the Church of the Open Door in Los Angeles. He speaks of the fact in one of his messages that a minister asked him to talk to a young man who wanted to go into the ministry. He was a splendid looking fellow, and when he came to Mr. Torrey, Mr. Torrey said to him, "You want to go into the ministry? Are you a Christian?" "Why, of course I am," the young man said. "I was brought up a Christian, and I'm not going back on the training of my parents." "Have you been born again?" Mr. Torrey asked. "What?" the young man said. "Well, Jesus said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God," Mr. Torrey said. "Well," he said, "I never heard of that." "Did you know that you had committed the greatest sin that a man can commit?" Mr. Torrey said. "No, I never did," the young man replied. "What do you think it is?" Mr. Torrey asked him. "Murder," the young man said. "You're greatly mistaken," Mr. Torrey said. "Let's see what God says." And with that, he opened his Bible to Matthew chapter 22, verse 37, verse 38, and he read the words, "Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment." "Which commandment is it?" he asked the young man. The young man said, "It's the first and great commandment." "Have you kept it? Have you loved the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, all your mind? Have you loved your neighbor as yourself? Have you put God first in everything, in business, in pleasure, in social life, in politics?" He could have said, "From the moment you've breathed your first breath until you shall breathe your last." The young man was honest. He said, "No, sir, I have not." "What have you done then?" Mr. Torrey said. "I have broken this commandment," the young man said. "Which commandment is it?" Mr. Torrey said. He said, "The first and greatest commandment." "Well, what have you done then?" he said. "Well, I have broken the first and greatest of God's commandments. I have committed the greatest sin a man can commit. But I never saw it before." You see, that's what the Bible does say. The Bible says that if we do not love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our mind, with all our soul, and our neighbor as ourselves, we have broken the first and greatest commandment. And if we have broken the first and greatest commandment, what does that make us? That makes us wicked sinners. That's what we are. We are wicked sinners. Now, if we're wicked sinners, we need a Savior. We need a Redeemer. We are hopelessly lost. We have sought, as the Jewish people did, to establish our own righteousness, and we have not submitted ourselves to the righteousness of God. We need to learn that faith, not works, is the way to attain the righteousness of God. The second thing that I want to say about faith is, faith is only as good as its object. Israel stumbled over the stumbling stone. As it is written, "Behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and whoever believes in Him will not be put to shame." Do you know what the stumbling stone and the rock of offense was? It was Christ. Israel was offended by a crucified Savior. They could not accept a suffering, crucified Savior. But the fact of the matter is that that is precisely what we needed. We needed a perfect, sinless, eternal Savior to make atonement for our sins by substitutionary death. That is what Christ did for us. He is the object of our faith. And faith is only as good as its object. I read a story some years ago about a man who was going to rappel down the side of a several-story building. He had faith. He tied his rappling rope onto a pipe on top of the building, and he went over the side of the building. Suddenly he plunged to the ground and was killed by the fall. He had plenty of faith that he could do it. But do you know what the problem was? The problem was the pipe he tied his rope onto was not secured to the building. It came loose and let him free fall to the ground. His faith could not save him because his faith was placed in an unsecured object. Christ is the object of our faith. He was a rock of offense to the Jews because they didn't like him. But he is the rock of salvation, strong and secure. And whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. If Christ is the object of your faith, then your salvation is secure. Well, thirdly, faith is the instrumental means of attaining God's righteousness. Romans 9:30 talks about a righteousness that is by faith. Righteousness is not the reward of faith. Faith does not merit righteousness. Faith is only the instrumental means of obtaining righteousness from God. That is what by faith means. We have in our house a very excellent means of obtaining water. We go to the kitchen sink and we turn on the faucet and water comes out. I heard about some Bedouin camel herders who fought for the English in World War I. After the war, they were brought to a city, either London or Paris or New York, for something. And they were put up in a luxury hotel. They were fascinated with the running water in the hotel rooms. They asked their hosts if there were some way that they could take some of those faucets back to the desert with them. What they didn't understand was that those faucets were attached to pipes in the walls. And those pipes in the walls ran out under the street and connected to a water main. And that water main was connected to a deep well somewhere that supplied water to the city. The pipes and the faucets were just the conduit to bring the water to the rooms. They were useless if they could not be connected to a water supply. Faith is the conduit of God's righteousness for us. Christ is the supply. The Gentiles found it. The Jews did not, because they sought it, not by faith. The issue then is faith. Do you believe or don't you believe? That's the issue. You must decide about Christ. So justification by grace through faith is true. And the unbelief of Israel doesn't mean that God's Word has failed. The message to you today is, do you believe? Are you seeking to establish your own righteousness? Or are you believing in Christ to obtain God's righteousness? We all need a Savior who can make us righteous in God's sight. Christ is that Savior. You can have Him by faith. Run and cast yourself upon Him today, and do it now as we sing our final hymn.